This is CliffCentral.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Yes, we are live. We're here, and it's going to be a hell of a day. I'll tell you why in a second. Sia's here, Gugu is here, and Gord Laws is going to be joining us in a moment or two. It's a normal busy week on CliffCentral.com, but it's made extra busy this week by a little event that we're doing today, which has got everybody talking.
So good. So exciting.
Well, I think it is. I mean, sometimes we say that and we don't really mean it.
Oh, no.
You know how people go, oh, it's so exciting.
I'm looking forward to it.
But this one, I really am. I've got a really unbelievably busy week, and I'm enjoying it. I'm into it.
But you feel like
the energy.
You're dynamic, you're moving, you're like, making things happen.
Yeah, this country's very slow and there's not a lot that goes on. And one of the reasons I like going to New York is because that place just never sleeps. And people are busy and there's urgency and shit needs to happen. In South Africa, everything turns so slowly. And when there's a lot going on, I feel energized and then I'm happy to be around. Doing a bit of traveling in the last couple of years has reminded me of how the best thing to do is to get into bed at night exhausted. Mm. That you've had a full day, that you got a lot done. It's nice. It's a nice feeling. So tonight we're hosting a round table, in effect, what we're calling a pure conversation. I hope these will become a fixture. You know, we need to do, apart from the shows that we do and the podcast series that we do, which are really taking off beautifully, I want us to do more of these speciality events where you get all the smart people in the room, in a particular industry, and you get them to talk about what their journey's been like, what they see changing in the business, what they see changing in that particular industry. And broadcasting's where we're going to start, because that's where I'm from and that's where I know these guys from. So today we've got DJ Fresh, we've got DJ Sbu, we've got Robert Marawa, we've got Thibaut Touch, and we've got Trevor Gumby popping in. And we did invite Fat Joe, and he might join us on Skype, but you know, he's been told he can't talk too much about the SABC by his lawyers. So,
and he's in Cape Town. Right
and he's now. In Cape Town. Yeah. So, but I mean, this is the lineup. These are the giants of South African radio and even television to some degree. The big names in the broadcasting business, and they're all going to get together today, and we're going to talk about the future of this industry. What's happened in media, what's happened in advertising, what's happened to the big radio stations, because everybody here has either been moving, they've been hired, they've been fired, they've resigned. These are the agents of change. These are not the guys who just do the normal stuff. And I thought it would be really interesting to get them all into one room. First of all, I think that if we combine our audiences over the last 10 years, and I was trying to figure this out last night while I was thinking about what we were going to talk about. If you combine the audiences of these four guys, because Trevor's really like, he's warming it up and all the rest of it, but if you combine the audiences, I reckon you've got 10, maybe even 14 million people who've listened to these voices over an extended period. And the thing about being a morning drive radio, particularly, and that's what most of these guys are, or afternoons, is that you're a part of people's lives. I don't need to tell you this if you listen to us, because you get that. You understand that this is a ritual that you take part in every day. It's almost like a church service to some people without the religious element. For some people, it's just pure entertainment, and I get that. I'm not going to attach too much more importance to it. But for other people, it's way more. It's the way you connect with the world. It's how you get your news. It's the first voice you hear sometimes in the morning. Mm. It's that person who keeps you company in the traffic when you're stressed out, makes you feel a little bit better, hopefully, rather than worse. And this is the effect and the impact that a lot of these gentlemen have had on people's lives. So I'm very thrilled and excited to have them here today. We're hosting them, and I think it's going to be a great conversation. So listen this evening, live. It'll be at 7:30.
I was thinking about it yesterday, how big this moment is, having all of you guys in one place, because it's never really happened before.
Well, I saw you were proud of it because you actually posted it on your own media.
No.
Sia only posts stuff on cliffcentral.com usually, but when he really is excited about something, then he puts it on, you know, this is Sia, said by Sia, Sia Sangweni on Facebook. I see his own social media lighting up. Very
look,
nice.
I was a little sentimental yesterday
what's
afternoon.
That Google? That shy laugh over there, that tells you that he is guilty as charged.
No, I'm not even going to try to deny it because I left here pretty late in the afternoon. We were just finishing some last minute details around tonight. And I left after we wrapped up the conversation. And it really hits home how historic and big this is. And what makes this moment even cooler is that there's no weird animosity between any of you guys. There's never been rivalry. There's never been so-and-so is such a bitch and I want
so
to.
It's so weird. I saw Fresh last night and we were both, I'll tell you about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
We were at an event with Zelda at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Zelda, of course, Madiba's PA for so many years and way more than that. She's just made the most beautiful documentary, which I think is in 6 episodes. It's airing on CakeNet, starts this Sunday, about her work with Madiba, her life with him, because she really gave her life to him. She had all these dreams when she was a young lady of 23 or whatever, of being a wife and having 3 kids. And then she met this man, and she describes beautifully in that first episode how she met him for the first time and where she'd come from and where he'd come from and what little she knew of him. And it's the most beautiful description. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I think you should watch it. She tells the whole story in Afrikaans, but there are subtitles. And I kind of fell in love with the Madiba story again, which I needed to do, and we all probably need to do, because this country at the moment is not a place of love. And the Selo Hatang of the Nelson Mandela Foundation said as much last night, that we are fractured and we're in danger of losing ourselves. And I think we've got to circle back to what matters. And we've got to remember the history that we've been through. And Zelda's helping to do that by telling her story. It's beautifully told. Karin Zoid does the music, which is magic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And CakeNet, I've got to give kudos to CakeNet. You know, I often say how... you know, some of this puerile stuff like the soap operas and all that stuff is just awful. But that channel, and I know this because my parents sometimes watch it, just because the quality of their stuff is really good. They make a lot of local content, which is really impressive. CakeNet spend money on commissioning really good television. They put together amazing reality content and documentary content and news content. And Karin Meyring, who's in charge of that channel, deserves a round of applause, not just for what she's done for Afrikaans and the language and making CakeNet this incredible forward-thinking channel, which it is. But she also deserves credit for producing beautiful television. So it was good to be there. And I saw my old friend Mandla, who's now Nkosi Zwelivelile Mandela, you know. He was there with his wife, and I saw... Oh, there was a bunch of people I didn't expect to see. It was quite incredible.
What's the series called?
I don't even know.
Okay.
It's so bizarre.
Okay, we'll look out for it.
They didn't make any noise about it. It was very odd. Is there someone on Skype that wants to talk to me? Yeah, go ahead. Hey.
Hello, guys. How are you?
What's up? Who's this?
This is Mobile.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mobile, guys, you're the only person who knows how to use Skype.
You know what? Data is cheaper than minutes for me.
Go ahead.
As you were talking about radio, I was just actually discussing that with my colleagues yesterday about the whole, you know, the shift of Fresh now moving from one station to another. And then we were just reminiscing of the old guard of radio. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying to everyone, in fact, everyone in my department agreed. We were saying, for me, the best time was when Garrett was in the morning at 5 p.m., Fresh was in the afternoon. Roger Good was relegated only to parties and music on the weekends. And then on the other stations, you had your other guys, like I think Team was still around. And then SAFM was still decent. Basically, what I'm saying is at least you had a good roster of radio personality. But
can I,
this day,
you know what? I like a little bit of nostalgia, but that's not why we're doing this thing tonight, right? You know that.
No. I understand. But I just thought I'd just, you know, shoehorn it there.
No, thank you.
But what I actually wanted to bring up, just to lighten up the mood, You guys should check out this video. It's literally the second best video after Queen of Vagina.
Wow, that really is a hell of a compliment.
Wow.
Yes, like it's really that good. It's called the channel is called Little Big. It's a Russian channel.
Yeah.
And the name of the song is called Big Dick.
Big Dick.
Oh, you know I love this song already.
Actually, funny enough, a gay friend of mine sent me that video, and I just said to him, "Thank you, friend. This is the best thing I've received this quarter of the year."
You've helped us this morning. Here it is. Take a listen to this. Thanks, Mobile. All right. Yeah, quick interruption to our morning schedule with Big Dick. By the way, hey, Gord.
Hi, guys.
Gordo.
My dick is big. My dick is very big. My dick is big. Oh. It's big. My dick is very big.
Okay, Mobile, you are now in charge of music.
Wow. The lyrical genius of the song.
Lovely.
My dick is big. It really is big.
It really, really big.
Wow.
Gordo, nice to see you, dude. Yeah. How are you?
Love to arrive. A little bit of big dick in the morning.
That's right.
Oh, perfect
that's
timing. Way to,
listen, I want to quickly ask. There's a funny thing going on. Yesterday we had Alan Ford hanging out with us on the show, and Gugu seems to have a few thoughts on Alan. It's the first time you've really spent a bit of time with him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sort of producing a show for him as well, and you thought it was just too much to have him around for 4 hours yesterday.
Yeah, no, Alan is a... He's a bit of a character.
He's a bit?
Too much. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, Jane was sitting on this side where I'm sitting while I was in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of the studio and she saw the anger and the frustration in my face. Alan, we love you, but fuck, dude.
What exactly got you frustrated?
No, the thing is, we get into studio and Alan doesn't give me the rundown of what he's about to do. So within the first 30 seconds of the show, he lines up like a call. I'm not ready. I haven't set up anything for that call. So then he just grabs all the faders and just shifts them up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he also left. You can tell him for next week if he leaves the studio the way that he did.
He's not coming back.
He's not coming back. He can go and do a show in his garage.
Yeah, I'm not scared of him.
What did he do to the studio that was so...
No, you know, some people just are pigs. They just leave a fucking mess wherever they go. He's a pig.
That's subtle. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, Gareth, I feel like you're mincing your words a bit there.
I mean, he leaves cables lying all over the place. He drops the headphones where he takes them off of his head.
He has 10 people in
studio. 10 people?
There were 10 people yesterday.
Oh my God. It's always an orgy when he's in the studio, and not in a good way.
I was going to say, that sounds like a jaw.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to criticize that sort of behavior?
There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. I know Gord's probably going to have something to say about this too, but I went and said goodbye to a friend who is moving on from what he's been doing for the last, I don't know how long, must be 15, 20 years. How long's Billy the Bums in Four Ways been there?
Jeez, like, since the very first Boot said Boot to his Chinas.
Exactly. I mean, you call it Billy the Boots, and you even got it in your game, which is coming
allegedly.
Out soon. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But that place is a bit of an institution. First of all, I mean, to be
about
hilarious.
About 20 years, I'd say.
To be
years,
hilarious about it, it's the only place where divorced women can absolutely guaranteed find some action at whatever time. That in your house. But you sometimes have to go there to get them.
No, just playing. Billy the Boot's been open probably about 20 years. I remember when I was at the end of high school, it became a thing. So there were
And Gavin, the guy who kind of started it and has been there every step of the way, he made the institution what it is. And sometimes it is a bit of an institution, like a mental institution.
It's not a trademark, we checked, but it's an institution.
No,
for
but
sure.
It's amazing. And Gavin's kind of, he's sold the place, so it's going to change. And that's going to be one place that will not be there anymore.
What is that recently?
Mm.
I remember the thing about that was that there were O's that were lank industrious. Like the parking lot dudes had figured out that a lot of people would arrive there from other jaws and not have the right outfit, so they would rent pants. True story. No, I swear to God, I've seen it happen. I mean, I know for a fact this is true. Many friends of mine would do it.
They would rent pants
to people that you could rent from them and then go jaw and come back.
Well, it's, as I said, a busy week this week. I've got a Randall's having a big 50th birthday party on Friday.
So Randall, we finally Abrams. Know Randall's age.
Yeah, we know Randall's age. So I've said yes to that.
I don't think anyone was ever really certain of how old he is.
It's insane, right? I mean, how did we not guess it? And look, he looks pretty damn good for his age.
Yeah, I would have...
That hair, we've got to talk about the hair.
I would have guessed around 44, 45.
Yeah, we've got our event tonight. Oh, Gordo, do you want to come?
Can't, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Oh. What are we doing?
Sorry, I didn't invite you. I apologize.
I appreciate that. Sorry, I can't come. Fart. I wasn't invited.
Yeah, there we are.
What are we doing, though? What is
We're getting a whole lot of broadcasting.
Broadcasting?
People yes. together. It's Fresh and Spoo and Robert Marawa and Touch and Trevor Gumby, and we're going to all...
Your cool people WhatsApp yes. group. I'm on the other one.
Yeah, we actually aren't a WhatsApp group. I think a lot of these WhatsApp groups are a bit twee. Because some of them feel like they're hard work. Yeah. We've got a little one for the show, which is awesome because it's just sharing ridiculous memes.
Funny shit, yeah.
I like that. But some of these groups feel like work. And if you don't go on them, you feel
I
like you
can't bear a group. Mm. It must be very functional or it must be very occasional. People must pop in. Like, I got a group of friends that try to go to movies once or twice a month. I mean, in a perfect world, it would be like once a week. But really...
You don't need a group.
We aim for, no, but it's like, just literally like, okay, this is showing. Oh, this right. is the time.
Okay. So it's they keep it to the minimum.
Yeah, it's like...
It doesn't have to include memes.
Yeah, one of us will suggest, there's like six or seven people. It's not a huge group. But somebody will suggest a movie for Wednesday, and then we'll see like if most people are keen, and if fewer people are keen, we leave it all together. It's like not very invasive. I can't like abide a group where people are going to chat to each other. My worst is when there's a group with like 20 different people on, and two or three of them start having a conversation. Oh. It's like you assholes could talk directly to each other or make another group, and you've gone off topic, and there's an in-joke now, and shut the fuck up.
But I can't bear the thought of having to create something using a WhatsApp group. Dealing with like six people and trying to finalize something already is painstaking.
I can't. And then WhatsApp just. I'm no good at organizing that. I could be the world's worst administrator, actually. I think I might be. Anyway, I wanted to ask you something because I saw Roddy Quinn last night, who's obviously been, you know, very close to the developments in Johnny Clegg's life over the last few weeks of his life. And he's very close to the family. He's the one who organized that Jesse was going to come in. And then obviously when Johnny died, we couldn't get Jesse this time last week. They're doing a memorial for Johnny on Friday.
On Friday,
so
yes.
I think that's open to everybody. And if
Convention
you want to go along,
Center, I think.
Yeah, if you want to go along, then I'm sure you can find details on all the various social media and websites.
Yeah, I read a beautiful article that was quoting a lot of what he said around Johnny's final moments. And they referenced how he was surrounded by family and it was just ease and full of peace. And I think what more could a person really want in that situation?
That is nice.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple of things then that we have to put on the agenda. We have to get Zelda in here to talk about her documentary. So we'll do that in the next few weeks too.
And we'll know the name of it.
We'll know the name. I'm very embarrassed that I watched the whole 52-minute first episode, which was, I think, the first viewing ever. We were a very small group, maybe 30 people who were there, and we got to see this first episode, which is beautifully done. And even if you don't speak Afrikaans or understand Afrikaans, there are subtitles. One of the cutest stories, I mean, there are a lot of stories in here about how Nelson Mandela, he loved speaking Afrikaans, and he made Zelda, her first job was to read him the Afrikaans newspapers from cover to cover. That was her first job in the presidency, and she'd sit with him and read. And he just loved language, so he would speak and learn how to, you know, he'd first of all try to learn a few phrases with everybody so that if your language was Pedi, he would speak to you in Pedi so that you could feel like you were talking about yourself in your own home tongue. He said something like, when you speak to someone, you can see what's in their head and you can see what's in their face, but if you speak to them in their language, you can see what's in their heart.
Yes.
Which I think is magnificent because that's so true. And this whole story with her and Madiba, and, you know, there were a lot of people talking very fondly of Zelda last night because there was a time around when Madiba died that there were lots of arguments going on in the Mandela family. There were people who were being left out, Grasa Michelle, Winnie. There was a whole lot of stuff happening that we don't really know about.
And was a lot of he said, she said, yeah, and seemed...
And when she brought out her book, which she was nervous about because she was worried that people would think she was cashing in, I think people really wanted to hear about her story and her experience of this man, because she spent more time with him than either of his wife at the time, Grace Michelle, or his former wife, Winnie, or his children or grandchildren, frankly. She spent the most time with him during the years in the presidency.
They say
and
you spend as much or more time with your colleagues than you do with your family.
Well, there we go.
Assuming you work in a normal kind of way.
And so her story is valuable, and I think it's a useful addition to the lexicon of and the history of what happened in South Africa post 1994, and this giant of a human, this Nelson Mandela, who really kind of was this iconic leader for us at a time where we really needed one. God knows we don't need one now, huh?
We don't need another hero. That is a good team.
I want the rest of the song.
No, please not. A couple of messages before we get to the news. I'm listening to Friday Part 1, and I can't stop laughing because of Gareth stepping into dog shit. It's hilarious. I'm crying with laughter. Sorry, can't help it. Thanks. That's from Jean or Jean. Have you guys watched the documentary Hail Satan? I just watched it, and it was really good and entertaining.
Sounds awesome.
I haven't even heard of it, but that's great.
I don't even know.
Is this about the guys in the States that are trying to fight for equal rights? It's more of a organization that are more trying to get like religious stuff left out of public works and schools. So they're going, okay, well, if you can bedeck every courtroom and school and public square with some religious crap that's only relevant to people of that fiction, then we'll stick up Baphomets everywhere. I mean, I don't know for sure if it's the same story, but I think it may be this kind of like... And
I've always thought Satanists...
It's more of an anti-religious...
Right, but Satanists can't be serious. Like, I think a lot of them are taking the piss, right?
No, most of them are.
Satanism,
Leveism, Luciferianism...
Yeah.
Like, there are only certain branches of Satanism that involve actual devil worship. Normally, it's to do with the independence of the individual and the responsibility of the individual. Consequences... and accepting them if you cause them. But, like, consent is a big thing in Satanism, like, very anti-rape.
Wow.
You're basically responsible for yourself and the people you love, and, you know, against trespassers, you may use force at will. But, I mean, it's a lot more involved than that. Most of it is kind of a kind of anti-religion religion. To believe in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, but then choose to support Skeletor is idiotic. To say that whole TV show is a crock of bullshit. So I always say to people, like, the difference, like, me as a kind of I invoke a bit of Satanism to scare people and piss them off.
All the tattoos.
Yeah, just to piss people off. Mm-hmm. But basically I say, okay, you know how in Mortal Kombat it's, you know, Sub-Zero or Scorpion. People are typically a favorite of one, have one favorite or the other. You arguing about Satanism is like arguing whether Sub-Zero is better than Scorpion. I'm standing 2 meters back pointing at the whole video game machine and laughing. So that's kind of the difference between devil-worshipping branches of Satanism and this whole thing is ridiculous, we're going to make fun of you, branches of Satanism.
You've actually sold Satanism pretty well.
And mostly it's about being nice to people and taking responsibility if someone wants to cut your head off because you're not. Mm. Okay, cool, well, I'm going to be a puss. People are going to come and make my life hard, but that's fine. Let me be a bully knowing that there's consequences. Or let me be nice, knowing that mostly people will be nice, but that there's no fairness in the world and I might contract Ebola and die slowly while the guy who robbed everyone of billions over there has a happy time.
Hmm.
Be responsible for your own shit. Leave other people alone.
If they kick you in, that's for not leaving them alone. All of that is consequential from the basic precepts of Judeo-Christian philosophy anyway. So it's interesting because the individual's sovereign and that's an enlightenment idea. And
correct.
Anyway, it's all very
But you do get the ones that like empty a cat and use what comes out to make a pentagram on the ground. Hope that devils come out and wear robes and listen to shit music. You do get those.
Well, this is from Eddie, who's messaged us from Thailand. He says, hey, Gareth, I saw that video you posted on Instagram about the oral sex demon.
Can we talk about that?
I've seen that.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's fantastic, huh? It's just the funniest thing. I'm just going to play you the audio from here because it's just hilarious to listen to. I think it must be in Nigeria.
But just the context, it's happening in some sort of
big-ass church. Big-ass church.
And this woman says she's possessed. So the pastor's now praying for her, praying out the demons.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a demon, but she's got a demon in her vagina, right?
And occasionally other orifice.
Yes. Yeah. So here she is. And she's very stressed about this. She says,
if I had a demon in my vagina, I'd be concerned as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Thank God there's a congregation to go to with that kind of problems, is all I say.
A demon came with his penis and put it in my mouth. And then he came again and he slept with me last week. And I told the pastor that I need deliverance again. And since then, my private part has been itching.
You've been itching?
Yes.
Get! Look at demon! Look, oral sex demon! You see oral sex? Look, oral sex! Look! You!
All right, for anyone who hasn't seen it, she's busy leaning forward with her mouth open like she's got a dick in it, and she's busy going, and he's saying, oral sex demon, oral sex demon, oral sex demon, trying to get it out, and she's spitting like what is supposed to be demon.
I've been called that before, but it was a compliment.
Well, I'm just going to let it play, and you can. I'll give you the context in a second.
The oral sex. Look, oral sex. Look. You oral sex. Use oral sex. Let that sperm of that man out. Out, you demon. Out. Demon in the private part.
And then,
watch what happens.
Then the demon's in the private parts. So what she's doing, she's standing there, she's shaking, and she's going. And he takes like a spray. It looks almost like Doom. And then he sprays in the area of her vagina, and she starts screaming because obviously the demon's burning in her vagina, oh, right?
Yes.
From the doom.
It's been itchy a week.
He goes poof, and she falls down. She's like, got rid of the demon. It's amazing.
And what an incredible money thing. Was exchanged, and the whole jewel was
sure,
over.
Sure, but how John, fantastic! Because that must have got me like, I don't know, 20,000 people commenting on Instagram, which is hilarious.
You're having a good Instagram week, actually.
Eddie says, I saw that video you posted, the egregious brainwashing of religious control and manipulation. I used to attend Bible college in 2010, but only at the age of 30 my eyes have been opened and I've seen the light. Everybody can follow the path that resonates with them. My amazing mother, bless her heart, she's still a Bible believer and I respect and admire her faith. I've never bought into the hell doctrine. I would much rather worship a tree than some man that died on a tree, whom I've never met. I've learned to respect all religions, but I do not for the life of me understand why some Christians always have to lay hands on others in the church like their God. The church has become so mainstream and commercialized in the last decade.
More than that, dude.
Tithe, and God will bless you as if God needs money. I've been involved in a church for long, and you can reach a point and wake up. I'm no longer a Christian. I denounce my faith to all who've moved. I moved to paganism, and that works for me. That's from Eddie. Wow, so there's some interesting thoughts in there. I mean, Eddie, I'm not going to unpack it for obvious reasons, but, you know, you do your thing, man.
Mm.
What I've realized is I used to be very anti-organized religion because I saw it as a poison in society. And I've moderated that slightly to the point where I'm not interested in getting into
a kerfuffle.
Yeah. And into an etymological debate about, you know, where it comes from and what it's all about. And
how historically those doctrines have come to be mishmashes of prevailing governments and how religion's been backward engineered.
I'm not interested.
You can't prove to someone that they
must believe, and that's great, and I really don't have any.
I've also become less, like, uppity about it. I mean, if you really want to force the topic, then we can get into historical and anthropological and scientific reasons. I mean, just logic about why it's clearly bullshit. But I'm way less inclined to jump on other people's beliefs and get upset when I see it in social media. It's like, it's very hard to not comment when a flat earther really believes the earth is flat.
But isn't it just so easy to let people be?
Yes, it is
like,
much easier. This is the point I'm making.
To force my viewpoint.
It's hard though sometimes. Sometimes that thing itches as it sails past. But you
itching
just,
my vagina.
You, itches you right in the vagina as it sails past. But you just wave and you go, thank you, imaginary God, that I'm not also stupid.
We've got to get to the news, guys. We're taking a hell of a long time to get to the news. It's my fault. Just quickly want to tell you, in case you don't already know, there is no such thing as posting on social media in your personal capacity. You know this, right, if you work for someone.
Oh, what? It's on you. It sticks to you.
Yeah, you can't say, I'm posting in my personal capacity, even though I work for the government, for example. It's not going to fly.
Yeah. Is that views expressed here are on my not own. Of my
can't
employers.
Do that. Don't lose your livelihood over a tweet. Why am I telling you this? Because in the latest episode of The Healthy Business Show, Fred Rhode gets to hear about the many risks of social media as he chats to Emma Sadler, who's Africa's leading social media law expert. They keep the conversation real. Fred even exposes what he terms the underbelly of social media. Don't miss out. You can get the podcasts of The Healthy Business Show now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen. It's brought to you by Discovery Business Insure. And you can listen to that today on cliffcentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So even if it doesn't say where you work, sorry, I'm quite hoarse today, as everyone.
Yeah,
may.
You sound like you've been through shit. What have you been doing?
I've just been like this for like 2 or 3 days. My never-ending chest cold seems to be better, but my voice just doesn't want to.
Oh.
Maybe this is how I sound now.
I'm
going to
say what Ben would say if he were here now. Gord, you're an unhealthy mess.
Well, I feel fine. I just sound bad. I've got to do a whole lot of voiceovers today. It's going to be the best.
So no, you can't post and try to separate your work from your. In fact, these days it's nearly impossible. Even if there were a way to do it, people would find a way of dragging you back into your work to make you liable for what you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, they try to invoke you. Punishment.
And with a lot of mob justice
yeah,
as
exactly.
well.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to make you lose your job because yeah. your view on abortion was different than theirs.
And then put pressure onto your employer to say, are you going to let someone like this work for you? Yeah, yeah.
There's a message here which we'll get to now as well. Ange wants to say, can we please talk about Boris Johnson this morning, the new PM just before Brexit? Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll talk about that just now in the news. There's lots to talk about there. We're in fact going to have Lord Peter Hain on, who's back in South Africa, and he obviously is in the Labour Party, so he probably thinks Boris is a moron, and he probably thinks Brexit's a terrible idea, but he's on rather a precarious piece of ground there, because I don't know that the political discourse is moving in his direction either. Mm. We'll talk to him about that and a bunch of other things. So don't worry, you'll get your fill, Ange. Couple of stories in the news. Julius Malema believes the Public Protector's Office is being destroyed. Of course he does, because he likes the Public Protector. He thinks that the Public Protector can be manipulated by him and the other EFF leaders. Julius has really shown himself to be complete hypocrite in this respect. And this is where Julius approaches the Zuma camp in terms of where his loyalties lie. Julius will do whatever's good for Julius. If you haven't seen through him already, you need to start paying attention. He's got this big problem with Pravin Gordhan, because I think Pravin has got some information that Julius has been doing some dodgy things, and Julius is justifiably nervous about this. So he's trying to get rid of Pravin, and of course it's been Pravin versus the Public Protector for some time. Julius chose the Public Protector's side. Remember, they were also, the EFF were instrumental in getting her job as Public Protector after Tuli Madonsela left the office. He says his party will continue to defend the institution. I wonder about that. What if there was a Public Protector who was not supportive of you and the EFF and perhaps took you on about things that you're doing in society that are destructive? I think his tune would change quickly. Anyway, he was speaking outside the High Court in Pretoria as Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan, crucially, began his legal fight against Busisiwe Mkhwebane. We're here to stay, and if one can interdict the remedial actions willy-nilly, we may as well close the office of the Public Protector, he said. Nobody should be above the Constitution. No one is above the law. The EFF's lawyer earlier reminded the court that they're all equal before the law, including government representatives. Advocate Thembeka Nqulukayi-Thobi said that the EFF isn't presenting arguments in support of Mkhwebane, but rather in support of her office. How convenient. President Cyril Ramaphosa said he can't take action against Pravin Gordhan until the court decides whether the Public Protector's report is legally valid. And so they continue to try to push Cyril out of office, which of course, if it works, as much as I don't think Cyril's the greatest leader in the world, if all these nefarious people in the ANC succeed in this, then we're really in big trouble. Anyway, let's move to other things. Mm-hmm. No arrests have been made after a high-end jewelry store in Nelson Mandela Square in Sandton was robbed of goods worth 8 million rand. The suspects, two men and a woman, entered the house of Amira on Sunday, pretending to be customers before walking out with jewelry worth millions. One of the suspects was fitting the jewelry, and suddenly one of the accomplices pulled out a firearm and threatened staff at the store. They managed to get away with jewelry worth 8 million rand and an undisclosed amount of money.
I always just imagine, like, try to visualize how much jewelry that is. Is it like two completely rare and priceless pieces? Or did they have to walk out carrying, like, treasure chests?
I just want to point out that what I love about this story is that it is a story of rainbow multiculturalism. Okay. There's a white girl and two black guys. So I just want to say, from the point of view of togetherness,
cultural and representation.
Building, this is what Vicky Sampson sang about, My African Dream.
My African Dream, we can steal jewelry. That's exactly what's happened here. So it's a white woman and two black dudes, and they stole all of this jewelry from the house of Amira. Anyway, one of the suspects has been caught very obviously on CCTV, and the other two you can see from a distance. So if there's any information, you please must tell the police. They're looking for these people. And then at least 3,000 homes have been affected by floods across Cape Town. You know, if it doesn't rain, it pours. Literally. Bloody Cape Town.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's just such a mess. They were in drought 2 years ago. Terrible drought.
Yeah. Now, water restrictions, etc.
Now there's flooding. The city of Cape Town's disaster risk.
It's either on fire or it's raining.
Yeah. They said residents had been affected in the Masipumelele, Imizamuyetu, and Makaza informal settlements. Roads were flooded in Southfield, Grassy Park, Kryfontein, Mitchell's Plain, and Durbanville. Seven dwellings in Imizamuyetu were destroyed by an uprooted tree, and roads were damaged by strong winds, said the city's Charlotte Powell. So Cape Town taking some strain with all of this bad weather. Kim Jong-un has been seen beside apparent submarines in state media photographs. Whoa-ho, ha-ha. North Korea state media released images Tuesday of Kim Jong-un inspecting what appeared to be a submarine under construction. North Korea's state-run Korean Central News Agency reported Kim was briefed about the submarine's operational and tactical data and weapon combat systems. He expressed great satisfaction and stressed the need to steadily and reliably increase the national defense capability.
Looks like it's in now.
Street photographs showed Kim in his normal gray suit standing beside the hulking vessel inside a nondescript warehouse.
Oh. You gotta have nondescript warehouses for your subterfuge shit.
It's like a James Bond.
Yes, villain. And I bet you it looks like an innocent factory, but then there's like a pool in it that where like a channel that goes underground, lets submarine into the city, and then rays up into this pool. So like it's all like men. But you wonder, like, those delivery trucks, innocent looking industrial delivery trucks. Why do the men have such trench coats and look like they're holding something under them? And that's where the submarines.
That was eye-opening court.
Yeah.
And then finally, President Donald Trump has filed suit in a federal court in Washington, D.C. against the House Ways and Means Committee. Why? Because he wants to prevent the disclosure of his tax returns. Trump has sought a series of injunctions and restraining orders from the court. We filed a lawsuit today, he says, in our ongoing efforts to end presidential harassment.
Presidential harassment's a thing now?
Yeah. And apparently the lawsuit comes as Trump is appealing other court decisions that sided with Congress when the president attempted to block congressional committees from obtaining his financial records. You know what the real story is here? The real story is, like, what Trump's actually trying to prevent. It's not that he's got, necessarily, he might have, dodgy stuff in there. He doesn't want us to see how he's less worth less than he said he was. It's an ego. With this guy, everything is ego.
Yeah, he's such a douche.
He wants us to think he's, I'm worth $8 or $10 billion. That's what he wants people to know. And then if we go through his tax returns, we'll see he's actually only worth like $2 billion. And
only him, two.
But to him, that would be a massive blow. This is how he thinks. He's totally into himself.
Yeah.
So this is what he wants.
Presidential harassment is such a like ambiguous term.
I mean, how can you harass the
most powerful person? Start presidential because it can mean both presidents, harassment done by the president or harassment done to the president.
But you know, you can't claim to be harassed if you're the most powerful man in the country.
Yeah, you literally are the most spotlighted human in the world.
You still can be.
You have to actually go.
It's like Jacob Zuma saying, "I'm being victimized." Like, you were the most powerful man in the country by a mile.
Yeah, you can be, but we don't really take you seriously.
Yeah. Come on.
There is no, like, more willing public platform. You have to go for, like, more than a year, campaign, hug babies, get on stages, be covered in confetti, hold up your V for victory fingers, and actually literally go and ask people publicly to please give you public office. Like, that's not accidental, reluctant celebrity there.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I don't have a lot of sympathy.
You're putting yourself right in that space.
All right. Well, yesterday we spoke to Coronation's personal investment specialist, Christo Linnefelt. Remember, in the last of our series of Savings for Savings Month, he had some really interesting things to say. How often have you bought something when you're given an enticing offer and then you have FOMO, not officer.
I like an enticing offer.
You do, huh? Mm. But an enticing offer, then you have FOMO if you don't buy it there and then. You know what I mean. It's a special.
Yeah, non-purchase regret.
Yeah,
where it like nags at you.
And then you, this has happened with me with airline tickets, but we'll talk about that in a second. So it's time to replace FOMO with JOMO, the joy of missing out, saying no to buying something when we're being enticed to buy out of fear of missing out. It's probably one of the most important lessons that any kid can learn. I'm trying to teach my nephews this. If you have one sweet now, that's it. But if you wait until the end of the day, they're two sweets.
Mm.
You have to make it a lot more than two for them to actually buy it. If you save your money instead of immediate gratification, you can buy the big things later because you've saved enough money. Now, I like JOMO, the joy of missing out, because I prefer to always say no to things. And then I really don't feel whenever I'm driving to an event or something that I should have said yes, ever.
Yeah, I love a good not. I love a good not going.
But with money, is it the same?
Well, yeah, no, not quite maybe as disciplined. But I feel guilty if I bail on something. I don't like to make a completely fabricated excuse. Like, the excuse might be somewhat painted in a light that makes it seem like I can't pretend like I'm a 1,000,000% honest always when I decline something, but I don't like my excuse to be completely like unfounded. So I had a bachelor's party this weekend that I was supposed to go to, a very dear friend of mine. I should have gone, but I work with, I work with some of the people involved in putting on rugby test matches, and I had to go watch the South Africa Australia test. Which
I
isn't,
saw you at the.
It's
at the
not
game,
a terrible thing to have to go do,
no.
But I did have to go do it, and thus couldn't go to the bachelor's. And thank heaven, because I would have gone if I didn't have an excuse not to. But I was really glad that a 2-hour rugby experience that I had to attend meant not going to this bachelor's. I got to say, I work in the space of rugby. Every year there's a campaign that I get involved with that one of the national sides does. And, you know, I kind of round about this time of the year start picking that up. But I'm not massively a rugby fan. I understand rugby. I love always support South Africa if we're playing. But I'm not an active rugby fan. I'm like a lapsed rugby fan. So I end up going to maybe one or two live games a year, and I've noticed a steady progression in the coolness of the vibe, the integrated thing, the cuck with who sings which part of the national anthem louder is dissipating. And there were a couple of empty seats at Ellis Park. I mean, I would say the stadium was 85% full.
Okay.
But the geest there, the vibe, you know,
it was good.
It felt it had elements of that, like the elements that you would of party that you would normally associate with local football, like a Pirates Chiefs dog. People singing, really like very like cool mixed ethnicity, mixed cultural vibe that I think people who have maybe found the rugby supporting space a bit uncomfortable over recent years, give it a try because it's a different experience than what it was 5 years ago.
That's very nice. So you didn't regret going to that?
No, and I was impressed because it's been about a year since I went, and I made similar comments about a year ago, and it's been about a year before that since I went last. And if you go once or twice a year, you'll notice a real change in the kind of atmosphere and the cultural warmth of it.
But are you diligent like that when it comes to JOMO with money? Because I think it's tougher when money's involved.
Well, how about you? I mean, I think you're probably a lot smarter than I was.
I think now, yes, because luckily I've learned and I'm responsible enough to learn from other people. But I know when it comes to my parents, they aren't like that at all. So my mom is a big fad person. If you just sell it to her enough, she'll totally be into it.
That something's trendy.
Yes, yes, yes. So she has, she's probably bought and jumped onto any sort of fitness or health trend known to man.
Oh, but that stuff will grab you, man. How, so many, Dr. people Oz, have, how many people have a treadmill or yes. a bicycle in their house?
Or what about a tennis use? Court in the garden that's got like...
And then you feel bad. You're like, oh. You go, of course I have to jump into this. Of course I have to do this. She's bought any sort of juicer. She's bought a... there was this one exercise equipment. I remember the infomercial was like, you walk on this and feels like you're walking on air. And I get how a lot of people can get stuck in this thing of, I can't miss out on this. Yeah, I have
had,
to do this.
I had
this.
Something happen 2 months ago. There was this special on... On an overseas plane ticket, and I was planning a trip later in the year anyway, but I had until 5 p.m. that day to make the call, right, mm-hmm. to get the special rate. So I bought it because I was worried I would miss out. And then what happened? I had to change the date, so there's the catch. You know,
The
cost of changing it ended up costing me more.
What would it cost you just to buy it?
Yeah, so it's stupid. You don't fall for this stuff.
A lot of people see the difference in what a thing theoretically should cost and what they're paying for it as money that they've made. So I had an ex, I had an ex-girlfriend years ago, wonderful person. But she, if you said to her, this is normally 5,000, but you can have it for 4,000, she would see it as like, if I miss out on this, I'm literally turning down someone handing me 1,000 free rand. And you're like, no, you're losing 4,000. You're not gaining 1,000. But this was a little bit lost on her. In terms of financial JOMO, I love when there's a massive jaw and I find I have an excuse or whatever to not go. And I get out of it. I see the condition of my friends the next day.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, like, I spent literally nothing except today's small portion of the ADSL and the Netflix bill doing nothing at all. I cooked myself a healthy chow.
You probably blew 1,000 rand on drinks.
My healthy ass dinner amounted to 40 rand, you know, because I bought that shit in bulk. And like, then you just feel like, I feel so much better today than my mates.
But I know when I moved out of home, I fell into a trap that I probably should have had a bit of JOMO when it came to. Because everyone starts advising you when you move out of home. Of course you need to buy a blender. Of course you need Tupperware. Of course you need this.
I've got one of those juicers.
When last did you use it?
I like a juicer.
100 years ago.
You see?
Ridiculous.
I spent so much money that I really didn't have to. Yeah.
Spending money out of convenience or impulse, the unseen, is often disguised as saving the seen. So it's time to replace some FOMO with JOMO. Now, at Coronation, they see through the seen and the unseen, or rather they see through the seen to the unseen, which helps you to grow your money, like investing it for the long term through unit trust with Coronation. If you want to find out more, you can head along to coronation.com, and you can find out all the information there, coronation.com.
With the electronic nappy changer and built-in sleep monitor, the new Zaza 3.0 baby stroller is here.
Excessive features added to justify the equally excessive price tag.
Zaza strollers are built in Sweden using only aerospace grade materials because only the best will do.
When a regular stroller will do exactly the same job.
It's easy to get tempted into unnecessary spending. That's why Coronation is encouraging South Africans to save instead this National Savings Month. To invest, talk to your financial advisor. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
This is CliffCentral.com.